So this is the special emergency meeting of the Elections Committee, September 13th, 2023. It's basically a meeting to get the status from our NES. So can Susan call the roll, please?
Absolutely. Hold on just a minute. Okay, Teresa Allen.
Present.
Teresa, okay, say, be kind of talk, say something.
Present. Hello.
Great. Okay, excellent. Christina Avalos. No. Jack DePalma.
Present.
Great. Violetta Diamond. Don't see her. Vanessa Dixon Briggs. Don't see her. Eleanor Elizabeth Foreman.
Present.
She's here. Okay, you're here. Great. Eric Jacobson.
Here.
Here. Okay. Lily, don't see you. Sean Kelly McPherson.
Martin's back.
Myla Reason, don't see. Minerva Sanders, I know, is here or has been.
Present.
Okay.
I'm present.
You skipped Sean Rhodes.
Okay, bad me. Sean Rhodes.
I'm here.
Minerva Sanders. Here. Aki.
I'm here.
Carol Wolfley. Not. Susan Young. Here. Okay, Mr. Chair, we have quorum.
Okay. So, first thing on the agenda is agenda approval. Basically, it's initially the election committee member from each station give us a status of whether they have a link to the forum. And then the second half from 6 to 6:30 Eastern time, we have Renee to give us the status. And then after which, 1 hour, we're going to have a carryover meeting for 9:20. So this meeting will only last until 6:30 Eastern time. Okay. So, Susan, do you have the information about the status of the, link to the forums?
Let me just, make a motion to approve the agenda.
Okay. Second that. If no objection, agenda is approved. Okay.
Okay, great. It's great. On the homepage, two stations have got links up. KPFA had one forum and their link is up. And, KPFK, had a whole bundle of them and their links are up. And I see Avalia. And I didn't call Avalia. Howdy ho, girl.
Heidi.
Hi, baby.
Okay, you're
Hello,
here.
Hello, Aki. Okay.
I am doing, I got to tell you, the secretary is falling down very badly on the job. I'd nominate somebody else. JK. Huh. Got it.
I had offered.
Well, we may need to do that. So there are three stations that are not as yet linked up. And one of them is WBAI, one of them is KPFT, and one of them is WPFW. So I wonder what outreach. I have already been talked to Sandy Weinman, who is getting that put together, and I will stay on top of it. Are there communications that have happened with other stations?
Can I ask a clarification question?
Sure.
Oh, go ahead.
I believe the idea is that we've had these forums and these meetings, but we want to put these links up on the website somewhere. Yes, I understand. Thank you.
So that people can go back and hear them. And the place that Renee has put them on the website has been right where the programs, where the dates that the programs would be conducted are listed.
Okay, and Susan, this is Minerva. For WPFW, we will have a candidates forum. This will be the second one through the LSB for September 21st. And we'll be working with the secretary to get that information online. Tonight, we're just asking our candidates to come to our community comments and introduce themselves to all of the community people that will be online with us. And we did do a previous one, and we'll work to get that linked as well. There was something done by the station, but the only people who seemed to get the link to take part in it were the candidates. So no LSB, no community involvement.
Okay. So no questions were asked. I think one of the things that will be useful, and I suggest that you and I, Minerva, have talked about it, is to kind of review how all of these were done so that we can get an idea about what ones seem to be the most effective and how and why. Okay, we've been through that issue. We're coming up on the time that the NES should be available.
Can I make a brief report about WBAI? What happened was that Susan had sent an indication that we should put some more material up on the website, and immediately within a day or two, that was taken care of, thanks to Jim and James and the general manager, Bertol. We also have a number of on-air, I believe it was 3 or 2 Saturday with 3 candidates, 4 candidates, 5 candidates on air. So that would be in the archives. And it is in the archives, even though I haven't listened there yet. I might be able to get the links and then send that to the NES. That might be helpful, I think. And we've been having, we had a town hall with, Jim Dingman, and it was about money, and also they believe there'll be other forum. I'm not really sure how many people are going to come tonight to the public time during the LSB meeting. Thank you, Susan.
Jack, thank you very much. And I saw that Bertol responded immediately to the request for information about the election on the website. KPFK made theirs simpler, and KPFT didn't have it on, and it's now on. Okay, so we should be able to line these up shortly. I had also, as we're waiting for the NES, I have sent out kind of a list of things, and this is based on the conversations that I and others of us have been having with the NES about the fact that because there isn't, they're essentially the assistant is working in the role of the LESs, that much is reliance on the GMs and the PDs. And there have been a lot of questions about are the carts? No, Jim can't be heard, and I don't see him. Oh. Sorry. Shaggerton's on. James cannot hear and cannot be heard. So I am recommending to him that he close out and come back in.
While he's coming on, can we just move on with the agenda?
The agenda is brief because we're devoting the time to the NES. The part of it that we're talking about right now, and I'm sorry for having interrupted to get to James, is that the committee has been requested by the NES to do some of the legwork on questions that people have brought up. There have been a lot of questions about what carts are being played, and how frequently, and is there a log of when they've been played. And so the request is for the representatives from each station on the elections committee to find that out from your GMs and PDs and be able to report back at the meeting next week at September 20th. So what we're trying to do is to use the, and I see you, Eleanor, we're trying to use the committee to do legwork for such things as getting the links up for the forums and reviewing the websites and reviewing what the station's practices are about carts and schedules. Mr. Chair, I've said what I can, and I think Eleanor's got her hand.
It's been asked and not answered, and you know, I can ask the the GM never answers such questions. Maybe the PD will, but I cannot guarantee that I can get an answer. I can ask, but I can't at all guarantee that I will come up with the goods.
So, Eleanor, a question. Would there, if there were a sort of a combined ask from you and Sean, James and Jim and Jack, might you surround the GM and the PD about it?
It's the best plan I can think of. If everybody else is willing to do it.
Let me mention another question that had come up was about what have been the FAIR campaign complaints and dispositions of those complaints?
Susan?
Yeah,
I'm trying to figure out if I can get James to get signed on. Can he hear us, James? I know he's still here.
Yeah, I'm here now.
Okay. And right. I would just point, Susan, I didn't quite hear you. My, you referred to me. I'll do what I can to get those audio links from the on-air forum at WBAI. And I believe Sean Rhodes can talk about logs, because I know there was also, like, it seemed to be a increase in the amount of candidate statements and mentions of the election is ongoing and please go and vote and we don't have a quorum yet.
Great.
Chair, I apologize for the technical difficulties. It was probably on my end. May I just please ask you to say again what it is we're talking about?
Okay, what we're talking about is the request that we have received from the NES to do essentially research at our own stations and help make sure that that everything is in good order. So, Jack, you all at WBAI got in touch with Berthold and he upped the website. There is also the question of links to recordings of the forums. Jack has offered to follow through on that. and then what carts are being played, how they're being scheduled, and logs of the carts being played.
Yeah, I believe that that is all being done properly, but we'll find out.
What we hope to have, because there are lots of questions people have asked, hey, the NES, what's happening here? And really, we need to do the legwork to find out at each of our own stations.
Sure.
The other thing, a couple of other things.
Let me say one thing. I know that we'll have the logs because we always have the logs. We have FCC logs, so that's not going to be a problem.
But actually, getting them to us has been a problem. And she was suggesting that all of us WBAI people collectively ask the GM and PD and, as she put it, surround them in order
to actually
get an answer.
May I respond, Chair?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't particularly like the language of surrounding people, but when you say us, the problem is getting them to us. Who is us? Is the NES not getting this? Is that the complaint?
No, the complaint is that there have been a lot of requests for the information and asked to the NES, and the NES says that is the responsibility of each station. Mm-hmm. So what her request to us is, let us do the groundwork and the research to find out that information for our stations.
I understand. Yeah, I thought the NES would be doing that, but I get it. This is to lighten her load. Yeah. Okay. No problem. Thank you.
This is to make it possible for her to dodge the request.
Just Kane's awake. Huh?
As I was saying, that
just
is
rest in your eyeballs.
Sounds like somebody's got an open mic.
What you got planned for the evening? Homework.
Teresa, get your phone right.
I don't know how to mute when I'm on my phone.
Oh, okay.
That's using right. The phone number. Yeah. So I would like to say, I would think the responsibility is with the general manager to make sure that all of these things are logged, that is put on the website, and tell the NES it's been done at such and such a station. I cannot see volunteers from this committee pestering or prodding or probably duplicating efforts and asking engineers or whatever if it's been done. The person that needs to make sure it's done is the general manager at each station. Thank you. And now you can mute me.
So that is what my suggestion was, is that we work with the general managers, and they're the ones who have this responsibility.
Except that if the general manager is unresponsive, then what do we do? That's the problem.
One of your members may have better luck than others. So I think that Jim Sagerton was very successful at getting through about the website. So maybe he can front that effort. There were a couple of other things that were brought up that I was able to research. One of them was how many Fair Campaign complaints have been filed and what were their dispositions. They are all listed with great detail on the website. It's the section that goes to Fair Campaign provision complaints. And then another question went to physical ballots, sort of far down on the voter guide. There's an explanation of how to go about getting a physical ballot. And then I guess I would suggest that maybe each of us at our LSB meetings, we've got KPFT this evening and WPFW, ask all of our LSB members, if you wish to vote, have you received a ballot? And then help sort out if they haven't. I'm now going to try.
Even if somebody didn't want to vote, they still should have gotten a ballot. It's not if you want to vote, have you received a ballot? It's have you received a ballot?
Good point.
Susan, a point of information, WBAI will be having a half an hour of talk to the general manager before the LSB meeting, which comes on a half an hour after that, which was one of the reasons why we're kind of truncating tonight and going to that meeting after this.
Got it.
Okay.
Yes, I recall that you all made that point, and I appreciate everybody, you know, working on the timing, and I'm calling Renee right now.
Okay. So who's 248? Where do you go, 248? Oh, Beth, okay.
2384?
Hi, this is Beth.
All right. Hi, Beth.
Mr. Chair, where are we on the agenda now?
Yeah, we're just waiting for the Renee. She's supposed to be on at 6 o'clock New York time, Eastern time. So she should be on at any moment.
Do you see her hand?
Amelia has her hand up.
Yes, I do. And it's asking for a repeat of something. You had 3 points, Susan, earlier. To see a general manager or anyone about, and I want to write them down now that I'm prepared to do that. One was?
There are several things. One is a link to the forums, and you already have that handled.
Yes, yes, that's right.
Sure. Another one is carts. What carts are they playing? How they're scheduled and the logs.
Okay.
Okay.
Right. And the final one.
And I'm trying to, and Fair Campaign, I think I talked about that, and it's on the website.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All the Fair Campaign complaints are.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I called Renee, goes to voicemail. Her voice box is full, and I just texted her.
Thank you, Susan.
Chair, I was a little confused about the timing of this meeting. I must have missed some email back and forth. Are we sure that Renee got the memo, so to speak?
She set the time.
Ah.
It was 3 o'clock her time.
And she is disrespecting our time.
Again.
Who is it who just said that?
Beth von Gunten.
Thanks.
Affirm that she's disrespecting our time again. Thank you.
I agree. Alan agrees.
Avalia has her hand up, and I wanted to say something else, Susan, if I may. Or Akio, actually.
Yeah, go ahead.
There was a long, I forget where I found it, but there was a long information about the various different improprieties, or was that a violation questions to the NES that I read yesterday, including one that I know about. So, I just want to say that if we didn't see that, it's because maybe we didn't look for it. I did see that.
Okay.
She couldn't
find the link. I just resent it.
I see. All right.
And so was that, Jack? The FAIR campaign violations are, all of them are listed on the website with their dispositions.
Thank you.
Okay. Renee, welcome.
Hi. Hello. Sorry about that. Yep, I just lost track of time and I couldn't locate the link, so.
Well, all is yours, Sonia. Thank you for coming.
Okay, and we have a number of people who've got a hard stop at your 3:30.
Okay. Okay, well, I can start now unless there.
Please do. We've reserved this time for you. They're not Q&A. It's all a report from you.
Okay. Okay, great. Yeah, so basically I responded in writing to the questions that, you know, were asked ahead of time. In terms of the numbers and how we're doing, I'm going to send it to the, you know, to everybody essentially prior to the PNB meeting so that, you know, we have accurate numbers. I'm hoping that, you know, there'll be an uptick. In the past week, one thing I actually didn't share was we were able to locate about almost 1,800 of the 2,500 that were undeliverable. So because of having either bounced emails or SMS messages, so through a scraping software, essentially using names and addresses, we were able to get 1,700, almost 1,800. And so hopefully the ballot company will, you know, give me some updates on the deliverability of those. And based on that, we're going to send paper ballots to everyone else that we can't, you know, either get a confirmation that they received the email or SMS. So I'm expecting probably we're going to have to send about 1,000 paper ballots. But I won't know exactly until Monday, and I won't know the breakdown by station till Monday. And, just to give you about, an idea of what that will cost, each ballot, paper ballot is about $275. So if it's 1,000, you know, it's, almost $3,000. So that's essentially what's new news. Other new news that I, you know, essentially reversed my remedy for this, FAIR campaign provisions violation that occurred on WBAI, where we had one listener candidate being interviewed by one staff candidate. I've officially disqualified them both because, the remedy that was proposed was, you know, basically not equivalent to what, you know, the violation essentially was. So the violation was 1 hour of a listener candidate being interviewed, and we'd essentially have to provide the other 27 candidates an hour, right? And that's impossible. And I initially wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt that they were unaware that they weren't supposed to go on air, but then in reviewing the background of both of these people, they should have known better. They've been involved in the process for years at this point. And, it's rule number one. It's very clear. Everybody signed the FAIR campaign provisions. There really is no excuse. And I don't know why I would extend them special privileges. And so, you know, didn't want to disqualify anybody, but it just seemed like the only fair and the only option, really. So Let's see, what else? What else did I want to bring up here? Is there anything that I didn't address in terms of the questions that were sent to me that wasn't clear enough for people?
Mr. Chair, in light of the fact that the NES is asking us for feedback, I suggest that we let people ask questions.
Sure. Since there's a certain amount of time until 3:30 Pacific time, Renee, is it okay that we somehow?
Yeah, of course. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So, Mr. Chair, I think that Eleanor Elizabeth has got her hands up.
Okay, Eleanor, go ahead.
I was invited to be on that show as per the original disposition. Am I still able to accept that invitation?
Well, so the remedy proposed has been reversed, and Mr. John Kane is not going to be on air for the rest of the month. So essentially the show is not happening.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Renee, you also understand that he's in Washington as well.
Yes, yes, yes. He's not going to be on air in either, on either PFW or BAI. For the remainder of the month. Yeah.
Let me just ask, Teresa's in the car and she has had special questions about, paper ballots. She knows some people who are very challenged. They're blind, whatever.
Okay.
So will, if they don't receive a paper ballot within a certain period of time, do they go through the ballot request, thing the
well,
way
if
that
they're,
other people do?
If they're blind, they're going to mm-hmm. need assistance with the paper ballot, irrespective.
Yes.
So mm-hmm. I actually think for blind people, you know, if they're getting assistance, they might as well get assistance and use the electronic ballot. I don't see what the difference is. And I would actually think, and I know I have good friends who are blind, and actually computers have software, depending on what they have, that can read them, you know, read the text to them. I know that that exists, and I know it's fairly advanced, but I don't know if they have access to that technology. But irrespective, if somebody is blind, paper ballot is no better than electronic ballot. So, but that being said, anybody who is supposed to have a ballot who doesn't get a ballot should request one, either by making a phone call and leaving a message, or by, you know, filing an electronic ballot. The someone being blind is a different issue, right? We need to figure out some way to support them. So they maybe have a family member or a friend that can help them.
The sign is gone, so I'm wondering if that means you.
I think there's a lot of interference. Somebody needs to mute themselves.
Yeah, want to check that out.
Okay, Teresa. Okay, all right. Okay.
Teresa, are you going? Are you going to speak to that issue, or have you had enough answer?
Well, the question is, when I was calling people asking for their email addresses, I had two people who specifically told me they don't use email anymore. Can they or can they not get a paper ballot?
Okay, so
one of them gave me $25. Okay, can they call the number and get a paper ballot?
Yes,
or not?
Yes, they just need to leave a message. That's the avenue for people who don't have access to email is using the voicemail. Yeah.
Okay.
And what is the phone number again?
Let's see. It's online here. I don't have it memorized. Let me look. It's 213-635-9363.
Okay. Have you had very many requests for paper ballots, specific requests for them?
Not very many. No, I don't think we've even reached 100. I would say we haven't even reached 50. I think it's on the order of 30.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I will contact him, the person who's blind. He has an aide that comes in at actually 10 o'clock at night. And I will ask if he has received the email ballot and go from there.
Okay.
His aide might be willing to assist him with that. I think he was just uncertain as to, you know, how complicated it might be if he didn't receive that ballot by email. So.
Very good. Okay.
I'll help him with that. Thank you.
So any other questions from the members?
Mr. Chair?
Who's that? Oh, yes, Susan. Go ahead.
Susan? I just wanted to ask Beth if she wanted to connect with Renee about getting a ballot. I wanted to ask Beth whether she has received hers yet and whether she has managed to follow up on getting a ballot if she has not.
Beth?
This is Beth. Shall I respond?
Sure.
Yes. I'll manage my ballot myself. Thank you. I did report at the last of these meetings that I hadn't received mine. I didn't ask for help. I know how to negotiate these processes. I'm well aware of all the options open to me. My real concern was that if I hadn't, as a member, as a delegate, as a director, as a committee member, not on this committee, but others, how, and I've got one email address. If the system can miss me, who else are they missing? And how is that going to affect the final count? That was the concern that I brought up last week. Thank you.
I see. All right.
Well, yeah, I mean, if I can just mention that most requests, it's from people who have received a ballot, but they missed it in their inbox. They're not maybe looking, or somehow, you know, some people just clean out things really quickly and they miss it. I can say that with confidence, and that's why I'm keeping records of everything so that we can understand what happens, right? I'd say well over 80% of the requests are from people who exist in the database and for some reason or another missed the e-ballot email.
Okay. Let me go to Eric since you haven't spoken. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes, I've noticed that in this LSB election campaign to date, unlike past elections, the LSBs and the referendums, I haven't received any email blasts. I've received a couple of, I've received one mailed slate recommendation postcard. Is email blasts part of the rules? I believe there were some rules surrounding it. Are they happening to anyone's knowledge, including Renee's?
Mm-hmm, and, yes. Mm-hmm.
And if so, could somebody go over briefly restricted the frequency? Have they not? And is there some preclearance on the substance as well that's been going on?
So let me speak first to what you first mentioned about you not getting them. Now, that to me indicates that perhaps you have some type of filter that might be filtering the server out, and I can send you what to safe list because there's definitely been campaigns going out. So it might be that you're simply your email is filtering out the messages. In terms of the kind of the new protocol, I'll again refer to the website, but I'll point you to where you can find this information, and then I'll just pull out the salient points. on elections.pacifica.org, on the left-hand side, there's a menu. There's a link called Accessing Pacifica's Membership List. And essentially, what it describes is ultimately this year we want to ensure the safe and fair use of these lists. And we've decided to go just with one third-party vendor so that we make sure that, you know, we're not just giving the lists to a whole bunch as we have in the past. And there has been misuse, because not all the vendors don't necessarily take the NDA with the same importance. And so there's that. And then there's also trying to, limit the frequency, right? So basically it's one e-campaign per person, right? That's either candidate, or non-candidate member. Now, in terms of, there has been this little confusion around slates versus candidates. And essentially what we have decided is, you know, okay, a slate can send a mailer, they can send one mailer, but, you know, and they can mention somebody's name, but if they have a whole page about the candidate, you know, and I don't know who's on, but somebody's, there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise. I'm not sure where that's coming from.
Looks like Teresa again. I see your
Susan,
picture.
Susan, mute me. Thank you.
So essentially, you know, it's basically the rule is one e-campaign per person or slate. That's essentially what we've been following. And obviously, you know, slates, there's a little bit of gray area there. It's the first time we're trying to have some type of limitation, but I think that that's the clear, you know, the simplest way to put out some limitation, but still allowing people at least one, you know, one use during this time period, right? Does that answer your question?
Is that the entire election period? One?
Yes. Yes. Okay. One. Yes. Okay. One per person. Yes.
Thank you. Okay.
I have one quick follow up.
Go ahead, Larry.
It could be an academic question, but have we possibly, this is just out for thought, maybe for future reference more than current. You know, William Brennan's adage about First Amendment debate being, how did he put it, robust, uninhibited, and wide open. That's the famous phrase. And I'm just wondering if we may have tamped it down.
To speak to that.
Slightly too much. That's all.
We went.
Go ahead.
Yeah. So we went a bit back and forth on this issue. So there's also an issue with spamming people. And so if you're sending out a campaign that essentially has the same information over and over and over again, even if it's coming from different individuals, that can be considered as spam. So, you know, and that there's obviously issues with that too, and people can sue over that. So, you know, there's a line to be drawn there, you know, because oftentimes what has been happening is that's what people are doing. That's what they want to do is they end up sending out essentially the same information over and over again. And that's why we're trying to make it so that everybody individually has if their individual voice, you know, they can send their message out to people as long as it is their individual voice and not just regurgitation of a group message, and which could be interpreted as, you know, spam, right? Just the same over and over and over and over again. You know, this is something that is new, and we're trying to figure out what the best way is, but that's something to be taken into consideration too, because members that are on this list didn't necessarily consent to being mailed 100 times, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know,
Okay, thank you, Renee. Hey, James, you have a question?
Thank you, Aki. I have a couple questions. I'll make them quick. But I want to comment that I think that's the privacy end of the law, where people who are members have privacy interest in their information being distributed. So I think it's not a free speech violation to limit the use of the members' information, contact information, when they haven't specifically consented to it. And I think each state has its own laws on that. I have two questions. One is, when people are saying things that are untrue, it kind of pollutes the air. It casts suspicion over everything. And one of the things that I'm hearing said is that the candidates who were disqualified or excluded in Texas, the group of them, got their information in prior to the deadline. And the issue was that the NES did not have time to look at the information. On the other hand, I've heard the opposite argument, which is no, they didn't actually get the information in a complete form. I think it was specifically the nominations. And so first of all, I would be asking you, maybe just for the benefit of the campaign and to not have this cloud of suspicion over everything, can the NES elucidate on that? And then second of all, is there any penalty when people say something that is not true?
Well, let me answer the second part first. I mean, there is really no penalty. That would actually be a free speech issue,
that's
right?
That's right. Yep,
but,
I think so.
But the first part, I actually did very, very specifically go through what exactly happened with screenshots, with emails, you know, so that information is documented. It might be useful, I guess, if I were to post it, but I have everything. And it wasn't an issue of me not having time. It was an issue that was a couple of things. When somebody only registers literally at the 11th hour, I'm talking about like literally the last hour, that, I mean, for anything, you have to realize that, you know, you're really pushing it to the brink of, you know, and on top of that, you don't come with a follow-up email or anything where you're even attempting to file complete paperwork. But it's just, say, your name registered in the system, right? Anyway, I don't want to waste too much time on this topic because I have every piece of evidence to back up what happened. And I gave everybody extra time. Everybody got extra time. In terms of the nominations, right? One exception that I didn't make was if nominators, you know, a week, 2 weeks later, you know, indirectly, they're not even writing to me directly, indirectly, supposedly support someone because somebody has supplied me with a name and an email saying this person nominated me, you know, 3 weeks after the fact. That I'm not going to count. If this person never even attempted to register as a nominator, there's no record of their name. They never emailed me to say that they had an issue with registering as a nominator. I'm not going to accept them as a nominator. Right. So, you know, there was one candidate who had missing just two signatures. Right. That candidate ended up qualifying, right? So I think the lesson for this group of candidates that waited till the very, very last minute and did not complete their paperwork and have done this in the past, I mean, it's not like they're newbies to the process, is that, you know, they had plenty of time. It's not like they had a month. You know, everybody knows these elections were going to happen at some point, right? There's plenty of time. So it's just a lesson for the future. Just don't procrastinate to the last minute. Simply, you know. So anyhow, but just I will post. But I will post. I will post. And I should have done that long ago. And I'll try to, you know, anonymize things. But I have timestamps. I have emails when people messaged me. I have when I messaged them, giving them extra time, you know, so on and so forth. So, yeah.
But no penalty if people keep repeating the false information. We'll just have to correct them. You know, other people will have to correct them. That's part of the campaign. All right. Yeah. And then my second question very quickly was, could you just elaborate a little bit more about that gray area between when is it okay for a candidate who sends their own e-blast to be listed on a slate as endorsed by that slate?
Well, so again, here, this is where, you know, again, it's a big gray area. But, you know, if somebody is endorsed by a slate and their name is mentioned, mm-hmm. And you know, there's a picture of them, I mean, that's fine. I mean, we're just accepting it because it's just, you know, but if it's a candidate who, you know, gets a whole page in the e-campaign of the slate, which is essentially equivalent to them having their own e-campaign.
I see. Got it.
Right? Cause that's the idea. It's sort of based on, I was in my head, it's a bit based on content, right? Quantity of content that's going out, right?
That makes it a lot clearer. That's good.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that is just more clear cut, you know, and maybe in the future we can define it a little further, but let's see how this goes this year and, you know, how many complaints we get and whatnot and see if it was a good solution or not and tweak it, you know. So.
Very good. Good answer. Thank you. That really clarified it. Thank you.
Well, Renee, thank you. Thanks for, you know, all your clear answers over here. And James, thanks for your question. And I think the time is sort of, you know, past the...
I have my hand up.
Okay, so we get one more. Why don't we do one more question from Eleanor? Go ahead, Eleanor.
There was confusion, to say the least, as to how long these seats would be for, whether 2 years or 3 years, which was only resolved well after the time to decide whether to run. It's a hardship to everyone to not know whether you're running for a 2-year commitment or a 3-year commitment. At any rate, when people were allowed a few extra days in which to declare their candidacy, and Mike Sargent tried to do so, he was told by Linda Perry that he couldn't. And so he was never listed, and he was dropped because he thought he wasn't allowed to.
But I contacted him, and he never responded to me, not once. So, you know, when somebody has been contacted multiple times, but and you don't receive a response, you assume they're not interested, you know?
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Mr. Chair, may I ask that Myla, who has come on the call, say her name so it's on the recording?
Okay. Hi, Myla.
Hi, Susan and Aki. I'm so sorry to be late. I look forward to listening to the recording of the.
Yeah, it was a very good meeting. I think there was a pretty, you know, substantive presentation by Renee, and there was a Q&A that was also good.
Chair, before you conclude, may I add one piece of information about the question about Mike Sargent?
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I was also assisting Mike Sargent to get on the ballot, and I was in contact with him right up until the last minute, and he just couldn't get it done in time. So he accepted the fact that he didn't get in. He wasn't pleased about it. He wished that he could. He knows he can run next time, and he accepted the decision because he just couldn't do it in the time frame that he had.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
He decided to run a little later, than most.
The problem is his name was not listed, and therefore nominators could not nominate him without his having to make an extra effort.
But there are other pieces to the nominations paperwork than just the nominations. Like, there wasn't anything completed. So, you know.
All right. I think that this is pretty good. And I think that we'll have a continuation meeting next Wednesday for the rest of the, you know, things for the committee members to discuss. So, Susan, do you think that we can conclude the meeting today?
Yes, I move to adjourn this meeting, understanding that it will continue on September 20th.
Okay.
I second that.
Okay. So without any objection, then we can cancel. So Renee, thank you so much for showing up.
Yeah, no problem. Sorry for the tardiness.
Okay, people. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Renee.
Okay. Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye.